And continuing on speaking about our role of carrying out this Great Commission, of how we can love Uniontown, we're going to take a look at the start of the early church. And again, see the words from Christ on what that call to be the church, to be a loving place and loving the place that he has planted us in looks like. And since we studied the Great Commission together last week, there's no better place for us to continue on looking to answer that question. What do we do with this call than in Acts chapter 1 where we'll be together? Before we read that together, let me pause. Let's go to God in a word of prayer as we open his word together. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time we have. And as we open your word this morning, I pray you would be speaking your truth to each one of us, of how we are called to love those that you have planted us around. That as we go about our daily lives, that we are called to show your love and your truth to those around us. When you give us the laid out plans of where we as we go, where we go, how we are meant to do that. So Lord, I pray you would be with us, your spirit would be ever so present, reminding us of this call and how we can put this into place right here in Uniontown and the surrounding area. Use me as your mouthpiece this morning. May you be blessed, your truth be elevated, may I fade away, and may you be front and center. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in all these things. Amen. So as I just mentioned, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 4 to 11 together. If you've brought along your own Bibles, you can flip there. That's after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can follow along on the screens next to me, or you can pull out those red pew Bibles in front of you and follow along on page 1689 there. That's 1689 on looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 11 together. So they're picking up right there in verse 4. It says, on one occasion. Let's talk about Jesus as he is about to ascend back into heaven. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered the disciples around him and asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before them, before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And while they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So jumping into this morning's passage, the disciples here, I hope you get some context here. The disciples have already been given the Great Commission that we talked about last week. And now Jesus pulls them together one last time to give them this encouragement as he prepares to leave them. And while they're still amazed that their Savior lives and now what this now means for them, they're wondering, what comes next? What's next for us? They asked Jesus in verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But we, on this side of the story, know that Jesus has bigger plans for more than just the people of Israel, but for the whole world. And Jesus wants to channel their energy they have for his new kingdom to establish that and jumpstart the church. And throughout the passage, we get a good understanding of what that power that goes into being the church looks like. Both for the early church to begin and for us carrying on that good work that they started. And so in our talks about if we're ever going to be effective in loving Uniontown, we have to understand and start that you are supernaturally empowered. that you are supernaturally empowered. Now, Christ gives us and the disciples this promise that you will receive the power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in verse 8. And in verse 9, Jesus ascends back into heaven, taking his seat at the right hand of God the Father, which allows him to send out the Holy Spirit in his authority to empower them to carry out the good work that he has called them to do. Not long after this, as they begin to gather, this becomes true on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out and they begin to speak in tongues and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And this supernatural occurrence is a launching point of the church that we know today. And that same Spirit that came upon the apostles, get this, is the same Spirit that dwells inside of each one of us, that calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is the power that we need to be plugged into as people of Grace Brethren Church of Uniontown. You might be wondering, why is having this supernatural power so important? And you might even be kind of squirming in your pews today saying, you know, you might be turned off to the fact that this power, the source of this power is supernatural. Because that word for us conjures up some images of things, especially inside of a church that seems strange, that might be off-putting or may not align with your tradition or background of what you think the church should be. But I want to encourage you to kind of set that off to the side for a moment. And together, let's unpack why it's important for us to remember that our fuel to propel us forward as a church is indeed supernatural. Our supernatural power reminds us that we have an advocate with God the Father. That Christ goes and intercedes for us by covering us and sending the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us so that we have unlimited access to God. That we can now freely go to the throne of God with all of our concerns and all of our requests, and Christ is right there with us. And we are seen as righteous before him because of Jesus' sacrifice. And Jesus goes so that he goes away and so that he can send this amazing gift of God dwelling inside of us so we'll never be alone and we can be in tune with our Heavenly Father. And that King who reigns, who we are now sons and daughters of, has a rule that reaches over all of creation. That power, rule, and authority is over all things. And we have been given the opportunity to join in him in proclaiming his truth to the world around us, all because of that supernatural power. And so the truth for us and the question that we have to wrestle with is, are we connected to that supernatural power? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, to mold, and empower us to do the work that he has called us to? And if not, what's stopping us? What's holding us back from allowing him to do that work right around us and as he dwells inside of us? Now, if you're unsure, you don't know how to answer that question or even what that looks like, you're not sure what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to be working in you as a follower of Jesus, I'd encourage you, especially as we're thinking in this context of being able to love Uniontown, that as you go about your day and as you go and are in our community, I'd encourage you to start every day with this prayer. God, may your will be done in my life today. Help me to do what you place on my mind and heart as I go about this day. Speak to me. Give me the nudge to share your love with those that I'm around today. And if you do that, if you begin to shift the focus off of you and your agenda on how God is in you, is with you, and is empowering you, you'll be more aware of the opportunities that are around you to point others to Jesus, to love them as he loves them, and offer them new life, even in the smallest of gestures. So the second thing, the first was that we're supernaturally empowered, that mindset that we're supernaturally empowered to go and to love Uniontown. The second idea that we see from this passage is this truth, is that you're sent locally, And let me explain that one. You know, I didn't coin this term, but it's one that I couldn't help to borrow and help us share and understand this concept of what Jesus is talking about here. Because in verse 8, Jesus promises to his disciples that after they receive this supernatural power from the Holy Spirit, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And what we have to recognize here is that we as the church, those at an extension of these disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, all of us, are the sent people of God. Each of us are called in sharing the good news about Jesus, starting right where they're at, and the whole way to the ends of the earth and everywhere in between. So this isn't just a local call to evangelism, where our focus is just the neighbors or our neighbors around the block. It's not just a global call to pack up all your things and ignore those closest to you and venture out. It's a global call. It's a call to point everyone into contact who you come into contact with Jesus as you go. It's a global to local call. Ergo, global. And I want us to understand exactly what Jesus was saying here as he lists off all these areas where we're meant to globally share his truth. I want to make this clear that, yes, this is a model of how the gospel is spread. It's also shared, this is a way that is shared through the book of Acts. That is, it starts in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and to the rest of the world. But this isn't just a simple step-by-step instruction on where to go first, how to do this directly. And we can also miss an important factor that this is still crucial for us today, and what Jesus meant as he lists these places directly. And so breaking this down, for the disciples, starting to share the truth of the gospel was very easy for them, starting there in Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was their hometown. It was their home turf. It was full of people who grew up in the Jewish faith and the Jewish tradition and worshiped God just like they did. They lived life alongside of the people of Jerusalem. They looked the same. They worked similar jobs together. They held similar ideals. And they knew how to interact with them because they were already doing so long before Jesus ever entered onto the scene. And so if we take this concept, this idea of our call to love and share the truth of the gospel in these circles, our Jerusalem is right here in Uniontown. In our own communities, in our hometowns, even more specifically in our own homes. This is right where we are specifically planted, those that we interact with on a normal basis. And we begin to share the truth of who Jesus is with those who are closest to us. Those are those in our inner circle of relationships, not just geographically, but family members, friends, co-workers, who call the wisdom of the cross foolishness. We start this circle because we know who they are. We know what makes them tick. And we know how best to talk to them. This is our first call. And then that circle then extends from Jerusalem to Judea. Looking at this idea of Judea, if you know your Bible history, you know Judea was the southern kingdom of Israel when the kingdom of Israel split. Again, similar to Jerusalem, this is a Jewish area of Israel full of familiar people. But Jesus adds this to say, this message isn't just for the few that are around you, but for you to take this further out from where you're just planted. For us, think of this not just of those right in Uniontown, our own backyards, but even out to the greater Fayette County area. You know, so what Jesus is saying is don't limit your reach to just single locations. It's hitting the areas that are near and dear to your heart. It's investing in relationships with those outside of your normal routine or familiar circle. It's talking to that waiter or waitress at your favorite diner, getting to know their name, striking up a conversation, and getting to the point where you can ask, you can pray for them before you pray for your meal. You know, it can look like inviting your neighbors out who you don't normally interact with for a cookout. You know, showing them hospitality, understanding and hearing their struggles and helping to address some of their needs because Jesus has blessed you with enough to go around. It could be endless opportunities in that way. But next, this next circle, so we've talked about Jerusalem, Judea, but this next, and those areas that are familiar to us as that circle slowly starts to expand a bit. But this next one is where I'm going to start to wrestle. This is where the rustling of feathers begins for us. And this is a part of the passage that we miss out when we talk about it, because we'll throw this into the final group. And that's to the ends of the earth. We kind of clump them into that group, but it's. Let me give you a step before that. That's this area that I'm talking about next. That's next extended circle is Samaria. We as a church today have a different picture of this group when it comes to this talk because of the parable of the Good Samaritan. We have a good idea of what Samaritans are because of that story. But for the Jewish people, for Jesus' listeners or followers to hear this for the first time, or for people from Jerusalem or Judea in this time period, this was nearly the complete opposite. You know, people from Samaria were looked down upon by Jewish people who would make Jerusalem and Judea their home, so much to the point that they would consider Samaritans half-breeds. Jewish people wanted nothing to do with the people of Samaria and never wanted to be associated with them. It's the worst case scenario to be lumped into a clump with them. So much so that if Jews from Jerusalem and Judea were traveling somewhere that required them to go through Samaria, they would go completely out of their way to avoid it at all costs and be even willing to add extra days onto their journey, walking extra miles upon miles just so they could avoid going into Samaria. There, and a lot thrown into this, there's a lot of hatred, division, racism, and all-around distaste for the people that are living there. But what does Jesus say? He tells his disciples that the power of the gospel will reach Samaria through them. That the gospel will be able to be reached, the people of Samaria, the Samaritans, through them. So what does this mean for us? Jesus is saying to go to those places you would normally avoid. Spend time with those that the rest of the world would ignore. And love those like he would. It means love those who you think, it means that those who we think are against us, we go and share the truth and the grace of the gospel. And so here I go poking the bear together on Sunday morning. Here's what this looks like for our Samaria when it comes to us as Uniontown. It means being a loving presence in the roughest parts of Uniontown that you'd normally do whatever it takes to avoid. Helping to address physical and spiritual needs in the lives of those that you would rather much just ignore or wish they would just move away. Maybe it starts with mind and heart for those in our own community who don't look like us, who don't see God and the church the way that we do, who even vote differently than we do, who have different values and the ways of life than we do. And instead of seeing them and just shaking our heads and wishing they would move away or get rid of, or they're in our way, and or ignore them because we think they're too far gone to be saved, we pray for them. We make their day with a simple, kind gesture. And we see them not as projects, but as people who are given the image of our loving God. And here's a crazy one, that we love and support other churches in our community doing the same work that we're doing. Even the ones who are light years ahead of us in every way possible, without a spirit of resentment, judgment, or jealousy. You know, reaching Samaria means that we love those who we wouldn't think first or even at all to love, because Christ came to love them just as much as he loves you and me. That church is our Samaria. And that leads us then to that final group that Jesus mentions here. Christ instructs us to be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. Does this mean that we have to pack up everything and become missionaries to accomplish this? For some, absolutely. And we should continue to support those that are called in this way. What Christ is really relaying to us all is the gospel is not something that we hold on to and only share with people that we like or that we know or that are close proximity to us. But this is a truth of a transformed life, because God sending his one and only son to die in our place and defeat sin and death is much more needed, just not only in Uniontown, but in Asia, Africa, and anywhere else on this earth. When God has orchestrated and giving us the gift of partnering with him in a variety of ways in this area, whether it be sending, supporting, welcoming, praying for, or developing missionaries, both locally and globally. All of us as a church, young or old, play a role in missions both in our backyards and across the globe, because we've been called and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. He gives the ends of the earth message there because everyone has that same opportunity. Everyone needs the truth of the gospel. So then the question for us, as we understand that we're sent globally, locally, and everywhere in between, question for us that we need to wrestle with is, where is God sending you? Where is God sending you? What does it practically look like, both in your personal life and then also as the life of our church, to be witnesses in our local context, right where we're planted, and the surrounding area, and each one of those circles, to those who might see us as their opposites, and to those on the very ends of the earth? Because the joy that we need to acknowledge is that you and I have been gifted with a unique relationship, and that each one of us has unique relationships that only you can speak into. That God has planted you right where you're at, where he wants you to reach your Jerusalem, your Judea, and your Samaria that is specific to you and you alone. The question is, who in those circles is God speaking to you? Is the Holy Spirit empowering you to reach? So not only from this truth are we reminded that we're supernaturally empowered, that we're sent globally. Finally, this morning, you'll see from this passage that we are meant to actively participate. We are meant to actively participate. Because after the disciples have been given both this call to be Christ's witnesses throughout the world and the call of the Great Commission of how to put that into practice, we get this amazing picture of Christ's ascension. And this had to have been such a spectacular sight to see, am I right? As Christ, fully resurrected and has set all things new, is taken up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father in all glory and all splendor. And the disciples are there to witness this and to take it all in firsthand. But what happens next is what I really want us to focus on. They continue to stare up in amazement. Even after long gone, they can't see him any longer. And I can't blame them for doing this, because this would be an amazing sight to see. And I would be doing the same, stuck in the amazement and awe of what I've just witnessed, wishing that I could just bask in all of this forever. And from the context here, we don't know how long they were there, how long they were up there looking up, but it was long enough for two men in white robes, assumed to be angels, asking the important question to them. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Now they ask them this because their job is not finished. The job of the disciples is not finished. They go further to say that Jesus is going to return the same way when the time calls for it. This reminder was meant to get them to snap out of their upward gaze and started to look at the work right in front of them. Christ had given them their assignment, begun the process to equip them with the Holy Spirit, and wanted them to respond. And from that moment on, this call has not changed. We've been given the same call to go out and make disciples and carry on that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this hefty task. And just like for the disciples, it requires action on our end. We are called to participate in what God has called us to do, not just to stand by and watch. Just like we discussed last week, we're called to go into the world and proclaim the message of the hope, both in word and deed. And we show those around us that this message is worth believing because of how it transforms all aspects of our lives. And together as a church, we find ways, both as a body here and as individuals as we go, in participating and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. Leading into that, I want to begin to close our time in a little bit of a special way as we start to put some points and action points together on what we've just unpacked together today. I want us, as we think about these circles that we've discussed of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, I want us to stop and think about who we interact with that makes up these circles. You know, we're talking, this whole idea and this whole series is about how we can love Uniontown. You know, that God has planted us here specifically for a reason, not just to sit here and warm these pews, but to proclaim his truth as we live and breathe. And so I want us to focus on who in our lives makes up these circles, who we know specifically and who we know personally, who do not know Jesus as their Savior. And they might be, as I mentioned, they might be that waiter or waitress that you interact with on a weekly basis or even a daily basis if you go for a cup of coffee somewhere. And you know them by name, but that's about it. Or you might have a neighbor who you've just got to know and got to meet. And you don't know where they're at spiritually, where they go to church, all those kind of things. And if they know Jesus. You might have those in your family that make up that close circle who you're not sure where they're at spiritually. That they might show signs of being open to the truth of the gospel, but they might not have made that step yet, or they might have stepped away for different reasons. But in a few moments, I'm going to play this song that's near and dear to my heart. You might have heard it before. You may have not. But it talks about, really, and I'd encourage you to kind of listen in and listen and read some of the lyrics as it's displayed of the importance of our hearts breaking over those who don't know Jesus. And so during this time, as this song plays and as we pray, I want you to really think about who God is calling, who God might be calling you to reach out to. And it doesn't mean you have to know all the answers of how to lead them to Jesus in this moment. It doesn't mean you have to beat them over the head with a Bible. It doesn't mean that you have to bring them here immediately to church. But ways that you can be Jesus to them. Ways that you can point Jesus to them. And I'd ask you to commit to praying as God kind of leads and empowers you to figure of who those people might be. or whether you don't have names for them specifically, that you'd be praying for these individuals throughout this next week. And that God would, asking that God would be able to begin to have conversations, to have interactions with them, where you can point them to Jesus, so even in the simplest ways of just saying, what an amazing day we've been blessed with, and just sprinkling in a little bit of Jesus talk to them. Just pray that God would, that you would trust God in the process as well. That know that this is that this would be a long haul process to be able to build relationships, to point them to Jesus, and that you that He would empower you to do those together. Think about those things. Who makes up your Jerusalem, your Judea and Samaria? Who are those neighbors that you have? Do you know them, and do they know you? Where do you go that you interact with people on a normal basis that you could introduce yourself to, that you could connect with and be able to share that love? And if they already know Jesus, that is an amazing opportunity. Now you have another brother and sister in Christ who you can continue that relationship with. But I want you to take these next few minutes, be praying that over who those people might be, how God might be able to use you and proclaiming His truth right here in our Union Town, our surrounding area, those that might be against us, and to the ends of the earth. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You, and we recognize there is brokenness around us. And that brokenness is of our own doing. We have chosen to disobey, to fall away, and to cause separation between You and us. Thankfully, Lord, You didn't quit on us. You didn't reject us. Lord, You brought an opportunity for us to have new life, a resurrected life through the life and death and resurrection of Your Son. Lord, it is because of that power, Lord, that we are able to have the opportunity to share that with others. Lord, I pray as a church, as individuals, we would help others around us where You have specifically planted us to reach and bring life in You. Lord, I'll be the first one to admit it. At a new place and in a new area and a new step of life, it is hard to go out and connect with people and point them to Jesus, even as someone who has the title of pastor in front of their name. Lord, I pray that as we go about, as we do Your work, as we go, that You would remind us that You have given us the power and the authority to go and to make disciples. Thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. That, Lord, You are never far from us. That we are never working alone. That You are always with us. May we be open to hear and to feel that prompting when we're around somebody who doesn't have hope, who is struggling, who might have questions. Lord, that we would build relationships, not just to fill seats in a church, not to just make sure we have enough money coming in the plate, but that those around us in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth would know You, would love You. Thank You for the amazing gift that You have given to us of the ability to partner with You in that. So Lord, I pray for those that we have brought to You during this time. Lord, those that make up our Jerusalem, those that are closest in our families, those in our normal day-to-day lives that don't know You. I'm going to pray for those in our Judea, those in our surrounding community who we know that have whole similar views to us, but still don't know You. Lord, I pray You would give us opportunities to, both as individuals, as a church, to serve our community well, to love them well. Lord, I pray specifically for those in those circles that we might have prayed for or on our minds and our hearts about, that make up that Samaria group. Those that don't act, that don't look, that don't believe in the same way that we do, and that we'd rather be at odds with deep down in our own sinful hearts. Lord, I pray that we as individuals, as your kingdom, and as Grace Brethren Church, will be able to make amends in those areas that have been hurt for so many years. And Lord, through the ends of the earth. Lord, those that we as a church are able to connect with through missionaries that you have sent out. Lord, the missionaries that are going out in your name that we may not know until our time on the other side of eternity. And Lord, those that they are ministering to and they are loving. Lord, I pray that you would be with them as well. And help us to see that mindset that we are called to do this, that as we go, we are called to make disciples. And it is something we're actively called to participate in. That just like the disciples, we can't just be standing up and looking in the sky with our mouths open. We have to go and to actively participate in what you have called us to do. And thank you again for that amazing gift. And that doesn't mean we have to pack up everything and go our separate ways and stand on a street corner and point people to Jesus that way. But we can do that by adding another seat to our table. Of helping those in small gestures and speaking truth in areas of hate and division. Be with us, Lord. Help us to love Uniontown and the surrounding area and to the ends of the earth in this way that you've called us to, by sharing your truth. It's in your name we pray. Amen.